every day we're learning new things about how these companies and our own government and these vendors work together to steal our elections.
Welcome, everybody. Alex Newman here with The New American. We are at the Moment of Truth Summit hosted by Mike Lindell, and I'm with two extraordinary girls. They are from Utah, the two red pills, as they're known. We have Sophie Anderson and Jen Orton. They are doing some extraordinary work. Just moms, right? I mean, nobody's like appointed or anything like that. They just decided that we need to find out what's going on with the election. Ladies, thank you for being with us. You guys have just been finding so much stuff. You got thousands and thousands of pages of documents. What's the latest news?
I would say just corroborating things that we learned at the pit with our documents, within our documents, like confirming the things that are being taught to the nation dealing with our elections, and third parties and other countries and three-letter agencies. Those things are being confirmed for us. And, you know, as like Mike is doing this entire event based on, we've got to get rid of the machines or we do not have fair elections and we lose our country. We also, every day, we're learning new things about how these companies and our own government and these vendors work together to steal our elections.
Yeah, it's pretty amazing. And so you guys just gave the presentation. You guys were representing Utah here. And I know you're also looking at the national stuff, but tell us a little bit about Utah. Because I think people think, well, Utah is really Republican, really conservative. There's no vote fraud in Utah.
Yeah. Well, Utah, according to a recent study, is the number two most corrupt state in the nation. And we hate to say it, but we deserve that title.
Who got number one?
Was it Vermont? I think it was Vermont.
Wow.
Yes.
Yeah, and they looked at a plethora of categories, and we just messed them all up. I mean, it was like, wow. You know, and Utah's such a target state because the people there are taught religiously not to ever question your leaders, right? Political or really religious. You know, that's kind of ingrained in them. So we are a prime state, very conservative, very family friendly, very distracted with our own lives. In general, the people there, that people don't have a tendency to dig and ask questions. It, you know, being a critical thinker is not necessarily something that is part of that culture there. So I think that's why we're such a testing ground for ranked choice voting and digital driver's licenses. That's why the UN came to our city a few years back, right? 2019, and took over. All of these things are encroaching on our state and the people don't know. And if you tell them, they don't seem to really care enough.
Yeah, and to Jen's point, I mean, they don't care. And Time Magazine just came out with an article that branded our governor as
that he was the only Republican governor who's not afraid to be woke.
I see.
And you know, surprisingly enough, Governor Cox took offense to that. And we're like, well, you know, if you have woke policies, what's the problem with calling you woke? Other than I think his facade got exposed before his next election.
Yes, exactly. And Jen and I, we've been talking, like, the only reason and the only way a woke, rhino, communist, socialist governor can get into a red state is by the machines. Yeah. They are able to manipulate our elections. And so these people are not elected, they're selected. And that's what we're seeing in Utah. It's just mass corruption. And in fact, we had a primary in June, and every America First candidate that talked out about election integrity lost, even when they won in landslides at convention. So it's very interesting what's going on.
And I guess Utah has the lieutenant governor who also runs the elections.
Yes.
I know a lot of states have like secretaries of state that run that. Talk a little bit about how Utah's system works and why that makes it vulnerable.
Yeah. So the issue here, we're the only mainland state that has the problem of having a lieutenant governor only, is that they run on the same ticket as the governor. So in other words, it started in 1975 here in Utah. And when you get on the same ticket, it's like you get one, you get the all, you lose checks and balances going on. And one of the people on your ticket runs the elections. So you kind of have this inherent conflict of interest where, how do you break that cycle? And, you know, how do you know that they ever really do win the election? And especially when these people, almost all of them, were never elected to begin with. They were appointed. We have a horrible history in Utah for at least 20 years of people getting elected and then they suddenly resign And then the governor puts in who he wants in the position. And we have the same problem with our Governor Cox right now. He chose Deidre Henderson to run as his lieutenant governor, right? He ran the election. He ran the election for his own governorship, right? And you know what happens? He has Henderson as his lieutenant governor, which, interestingly enough, creates a space opening in a House district that he appointed his brother-in-law to.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. So you see how it works. And what do you do? Because, you know, these people, I mean, the legislators and all these public people are all afraid of not doing what they said because they know ultimately that this person controls the elections. It's too much power for one person, one group of people. And they figured this out in 1975. And thank goodness the other states haven't followed the pattern.
Yeah. One of the things I want to ask you guys about, you guys have been getting a lot of documents. You've been going to the clerks and the people to get these documents. And they've been throwing roadblocks in front of you guys to try to stop that. Talk a little bit about the obstructionism that you've found in trying to get these records and these documents.
Oh, well, actually, it's funny. Just yesterday, I was able to file with our lawyers. I don't know what you call it. It's a motion to not hear a judicial review because Salt Lake County was the one that charged me almost $100,000 for emails about the machines, which ended up being only a couple thousand emails. That's the same amount that Sophie was given for approximately $1,600, to put it in comparison. 4,000% increase almost because the subject was the elections and the machines, right? So this has gone on for over a year since I requested these. I still don't have the documents. And I ended up going to State Records Committee. They gave us the information at no cost. And I was sued by the county, as was the State Records Committee for this. So that's a huge obstruction. But it was interesting because this document that we filed actually proved that the county DA lied. And you can't use that word, you know, loosely, but our lawyers showed numerous times that they had actually lied on their court documents. And we're hoping to get the whole thing dismissed. They wanted to set a precedent saying, hey, information about election data should never be given to the public at no cost ever. Right. And again, this is over a year I've been waiting to get this data. They wanted to set a precedent, but I say, let's turn it around on them and set a precedent that don't you dare question the rights of the people and the State Records Committee. So we'll see where that one goes.
Unbelievable. Truly unbelievable. Ladies, you have a presentation you're going to do tomorrow, and you're working with former Senator Patrick Kolbeck. We've had him on the program talking about election fraud before. Wonderful stuff. Can you give us a little sneak preview of some of what's going to be revealed?
It's going to be explosive. That's yes.
Yeah, through some of the public documents and with great help from Jim Hoff's team at the Gateway Pundit, Patrick and us have been able to dig into what we call the back door to election data. It's a system that we had never come across before. Patrick had never come across before. I've never honestly seen it explained anywhere. Have you?
No.
In all of the stuff that we're doing, and we're going to show the direction that the elections are heading, and I think it's something that most states should look at before it gets infiltrated into their states. Right now, it's still in the test market, and we're going to show that and try to close the back door before it gets too wide open.
Excellent. Before we let you go, how can people follow your work and get ideas for what they should be doing to try to restore election integrity?
So on our website, toredpills.org, we have some templates on there, some PDFs that people can go to. And it kind of all starts at the county level, right? And so this template, if you want to do all of it, that's awesome. If you want to do just a little piece, but doing something, you get the traction going and it kind of snowballs. And so we would really encourage people to go there, look at what we have listed. If we've missed anything that they can add or modify, that would be awesome. But we've found it to be effective and we're pretty happy to share it.
Excellent. Well, ladies, thank you so much for the wonderful work you're doing. Thank you for being with us. And we'll catch up with you once you have more information. Thank you very much.
Thanks, Alex.